And we'll begin the BFF meeting. Angela? Does she go to the other room?
Chair Downs.
A roll call. Here.
Vice Chair Boylan. Regent Arascata. Regent Brooks. Regent Goodman.
Here.
You don't have a quorum. Regent Brooks is supposedly on Zoom. He has disconnected.
We have three for the quorum, don't we? There's five members, so three is the majority.
Okay.
Thank you. Moving on to agenda item number one, public comment. For those who would like to call in and offer public comment, please dial 669-444-9171 and enter meeting ID 928-4944-5069. And the passcode is 555-555. Is there any public comment in GBC?
It's none at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
Yes, there is.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Downs and members, Kent Irvin, ERVIN, Nevada Faculty Alliance. We appreciate the efforts to improve the transparency of the various financial reports, particularly the non-state accounts, and recognize that it is a work in progress by the system and business officers. I would like to thank CFO Vitone for answering questions. I have some comments on items that stood out in reviewing today's agenda. On item 7, the self-supporting budget actual report, revenues and expenditures from non-budgeted accounts are apparently still not included in any of the reports. For example, comparing the total student tuition and fees revenue reported in the FY 2024 NC financial statements, which we just heard in the audit committee, with the amounts in the various budget and fees reports, I'm coming up with a gap of $53 million. I'm not suggesting any missing funds, just that the reporting is non-transparent to the public and to regents. To comply with the full spirit of the legislative audit and more fundamentally to regain the trust of the legislature, all of these expenditures need to be reported by source of funds, institution, program function, and expenditure type. Preferably an executive summary would show the complete budget at a high level, but backed up by the detailed reports by institution and so forth. On item 9, the quarterly athletic financial reports, we appreciate the more frequent monitoring of the athletics programs. There is a continuing large deficit at UNLV. It was up to $27 million at the end of FY 2024, $20 million at the end of the first quarter. The remediation plan includes increasing gift revenue, but in the first quarter of the annual $6.4 million budgeted amount, only $1,101 were received. For UNR, we continue to see $10 million to $11 million net transfers from the university annually since about 2021, but the deficits, even with that funding, have continued. The question is, what is the source of those funds, and how does it affect the academic operations? Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment at the Reno System Office?
No further public comment.
Thank you. Is there any public comment here at UNLV? I don't see any. Okay. SCS, is there any public comment on the phone?
There are no callers at this time, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We'll move forward to the item number 2, consent items. Consent items will be considered together and acted on in one motion unless an item is removed to be considered separately by the committee.
Motion for approval.
We have a motion for approval. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. So I'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed? Okay, moving on. I'd like to go to item number three, the first quarter fiscal year 2024-2025 fiscal exceptions self-supporting budget. CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chair Downs. Chris Vitone, NGCFO. Item three on your agenda is the first quarter fiscal year 25 fiscal exception report. This report is presented quarterly in accordance with the board handbook, Title IV, Chapter 9, that requires reporting a program and project accounts that end the quarter with a negative cash balance, a negative cash position. This policy also requires that as part of the quarterly report, the institutions provide their plan for resolving the reported accounts deficits. Section one of this report, which is pages 4 through 6 of the materials, this is where we're reporting the program deficits. So we have a couple categories of program accounts or of accounts that we've grouped to try to make the report easier to review. The first section being program accounts, and these I think you've there are several that I know that have been on the report in over several quarters, and some that you received some additional information about at your October special meeting. So those are here and continue. We did have some new items that appear for you in this quarter from Great Basin. I think we anticipate those will be resolved. They were not resolved and able to be reported in the timing difference section of the report, but we do anticipate they'll be resolved for the next quarter report. Section two of the report is where we report the project account deficits, and here again, I think these are accounts that you've seen in previous reports with some updates from the campuses on those project account balances. Section three of the report on page 8, this is the special project funding accounts that UNR and UNLV both maintain. And there's updates there from both UNLV is related to the Gateway facility. You had the update about it at your October special meeting, and there's some additional new information in the report on that one. And then section four is the larger section. This is just where accounts did end the quarter in a deficit position. However, the normal business cycle or operating activity that helps resolve them in a timely manner. So we report those just as timing differences as opposed to the items in the other sections, which are in those sections as more ongoing or issues resolving a resolution, requiring a resolution plan to address. So with that, I would pause and take any questions.
Are there any questions of CFO Vitone over this report? Seeing none, anything else to add or? We're good. Okay. Dawson Deal wanted to comment on this. Is the student government representative from UNR, right?
That's correct. Thank you, Vice Chair. Dawson Deal, president of ASUN at UNR for the record. Just one thing that I wanted to make a comment on real quickly, and this was an item that was pointed out in section one of the brief, but ASUN is going to pay off our debt to our student, our on-campus bookstore, the ASUN Wolf Shop, in December, by the end of this month. And I just wanted to say that that's a pretty incredible milestone for our association. We took on that debt in 2020, and all of the commissions that we get from that bookstore go into our ASUN capital account, which gives us access to additional hundreds of thousands of dollars additionally every single fiscal year, and that account hasn't been able to be accessed since 2019. So in 2025, it'll be the first year in quite some time that we'll have access to those funds, which are very critical for funding some of the programs and for student services that we offer on campus, like our campus escort program, pack rides, as well as our food pantry on campus, pack provisions. So I just wanted to highlight the importance of that milestone and express support for all of those who help us accomplishment. So thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to item number four. First quarter fiscal year 2024-2025 budget transfers, state supported or self-supporting operating budgets. CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chris Vitone, NGCFO. So item four on your agenda is the first quarter fiscal year 25 budget transfers report. As noted, the board policy requires reporting, quarterly reporting of budget transfers in excess of $500,000 between functions. Common items reported on this report, particularly in the first quarter, include adjustments related to position vacancy. And for this report, you have the first item is in that category from UNLV. The second item on the report is one from the Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine at UNLV that is related to setup in the new fiscal year for their expansion appropriation. And then the third item on this report is one from the University of Nevada, Reno, related to the South Campus parking garage project, which was one of the items. This is in line with the the plan noted in the fiscal exception report related to that same project.
Thank you. Are there any questions about this item? Seeing none, we'll move on to item number five. Fiscal year 2023-2024 NCHI state operating budget to actual comparison. CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chris Vitone, NCHI CFO. Item five is the fiscal year 2024 state supported operating budget, budget to actual report. There are quite a few pages. Let me just give you the summary information that we'll start on page five. Page five lists the various appropriation sources for the system, and I just wanted to highlight this page just a reminder. I know you've seen many presentations about the state's the system, the state supported operating budget over the past year. Here we've itemized all of the special appropriations, the one-shot appropriations, and one thing to highlight in this year's report, because it is important to note, most of those one-shot appropriations were actually two-year appropriations. So when we initially prepared the 24 budget, the budget included the full two-year appropriation. Obviously, in most cases, the two-year appropriation was not all spent in the first year, and so you're seeing those same appropriations in the second, in the actual, with smaller dollar amounts. The actual revenue being reported is aligned with the expenditures that were incurred in the current fiscal year. So the those budget variances that you're seeing on the revenue side of those one-shot appropriations is not. It's not alarming. It's expected in those one-shot appropriations that they would carry forward to the second year, and so you're also seeing large balances in the balance forward to the next year in the bottom half of this section of the report and the other revenue sources. So, just wanted to highlight that. Then, in the other revenue sources section, you also see the system's other revenue sources that are part of the state-supported operating budget, the largest of those being the allocation of the registration fee and non-resident tuition. So just summarizing there, the initial budget for FY24 on the state-supported operating budget was just about a little more than $1.2 billion in total revenues. Actual expenditures are listed as just under $1.2 billion. But, of course, included in there is the carry forward to the 25 budget year, which we'll see in the next report. That's your item number six. I'll pause there, perhaps, in case there's any questions. And if not, I'll go on to the...
Any questions of CFO Vitone? Seeing none, go ahead and continue. Thank you.
Then on your next page... Page six of the report is also summarizing the revenue budget by appropriation unit. So this is the budget accounts that are separately appropriated through the state legislative process. And so these are the same total revenues you saw on page five, just summarized at the appropriation unit level. Then on page seven, this is the expenditure summary of the state-supported operating budget system-wide, and this is summarized at the functional in the functional categories, so instruction, student services, academic support, those categories. Here, total expenditures and total revenue balanced to zero in a state-supported operating budget. So here you have total expenditures originally budgeted of just about $1.2 billion. And actual expenditures at the same level. And then page 8 of the report is the same expenditures summarized in a ledger view, where this is compensation and benefits, your primary expenditure categories for the system, and certainly in the state-supported operating budget, and then operating expenses being the other large category. And again, as in the format of state-supported operating budgets, your revenue and expenses balance to zero, so the budget expenditures and actual expenditures align with the revenues in those same categories.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions of CFO Vitone over this report? Being that this is an action item, is there, I assume that the action is to accept it. So is there a motion to accept this report?
Motion to accept.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. I'll go ahead and call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed, so that passes. Thank you. Move on to item number 6, fiscal year 2024-2025, NSHE State Budget Supported Operating Budget. CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chris Vitone, CFO for the system. Item 6 is the fiscal year 25 State Supported Operating Budget, so a similar report to the one you just saw for FY24 budget actual. This report provides a comparison of the FY24 budget to the proposed FY25 state-supported operating budgets. These budgets are aligned with the legislatively approved budgets and presented for your approval here today. So starting on page 15, I just want to review the same summary pages. You'll see them in the same type of format we just reviewed on the actuals report. Page 15 summarizes the operating budgets for 25 compared to 24, lining out the several appropriation sources for this current biennial cycle, including all the one-shots. And again, this is kind of where I was referencing on the prior report. You'll notice much higher numbers in the 24 column on the one-shots than the 25. That represents the spend down, the utilization of those one-shots in 24, and the 25 column representing the amount carried forward. And then in the lower part of the report, the other revenue sections, again, the largest components being revenue registration fees, the allocation, the state-supported portion allocation of the registration fees and the non-resident tuition. And here you have the total revenue budget for FY25, just about $1.3 billion, up from the prior year, $1.2 billion. The largest component of that increase being the second year of the legislatively approved COLA appropriations, cost of living adjustments, salary adjustments for the positions in the state supported operating budget. And you can actually see that on line 2 up the second line of the top section of the report, the 62 or so million increase over FY24, representing the second year of the COLA. Then on page 16, those same revenues, just as same as in the prior report, summarized by the appropriation units, and again, those are the budget accounts as they're appropriated by the legislature. Page 17 of the report is the expenditures summarized by function, and here again, just like in the other report, but revenues and expenses balance to zero in a state-supported operating budget. And so you'll see expenses that match those revenues for both 24 and 25. And then on page 18, the same expenditures summarized by ledger category. So your compensation and benefits at the top and operating expense, third line from the bottom. And again, you see the $58 million increase over 24. That primarily being relating to the cost of living adjustment difference between the two fiscal years. The remainder of the report, pages 19 through 81, are additional detail, and that detail was available in the prior report as well. I didn't mention that there, but similar there. This following those system-wide summary pages, the remainder of the report provides detail at the campus level, at the appropriation unit level, similar to the summaries you saw here. So.
Thank you. Are there any questions for CFO Vitone?
Question for me now.
Yes, please go forward.
CFO Vuitton, just for clarity, and you brought up one of the items I was going to bring up on page 15, under the COLA, the 2023 operating fund was $59 million. And from 2024 to 2025, just for clarity, this is going up to $121 million, an increase of $61 million because of the COLA. Is that correct?
Chris Vuitton, yes, Regent Arascata, that's correct. The way the legislature appropriates the cost of living adjustments, they appropriate them separately. And because there's a cost of living adjustment in both fiscal years, the first fiscal year includes the value of the first cost of living adjustment. That first year's cost of living adjustment still stays as a separate appropriation for cost of living adjustments, but increments by the second year's cost of living adjustment. So the second year appropriation for cost of living adjustments is basically stacking those two cost of living adjustments into the one appropriation. So it's those amounts is of course were 12% and 11% resulting in that increase in the second year.
So is that 12 and 11%? Is this a cumulative number of the increase of 61 million?
Yes, exactly that. It's
thank you.
It's the 12 and 11 together in the second year.
Thank you.
Any other questions for CFO Vuitton? Yes.
Would I be correct in noting that number is so high because we only received 80% of 80% from the state with regard to our COLAs?
Chris Vuitton, these amounts do represent the amount that was appropriated, which was the amounts that were based on the proportional share of state appropriation within the total budget. So I think system-wide it averaged about 64% or so.
Okay. So just a note, we received 64%, and I'm hopeful that we can get that state allocation back to 80%, as with every other state agency. Thank you.
Agreed. Thank you. Any other questions for CFO Vuitton? This is an action item as well to approve. So is there a motion to approve?
Approval.
Second.
Okay. We'll call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That passes. Thank you. So we're on to... is it six or seven? What did we just do? We just did six. So on to seven.
Yep.
So CFO Vuitton.
Thank you, Chair Downs. Chris Vuitton, NGCFO. Item seven is the fiscal year 2024 self-supporting budgets, budget to actual report. For this report, this is a report that we've made some adjustments to in response to the feedback that you provided to us in prior meetings and some that we've heard through public comments. So wanted to just cover initially page five of the report does discuss these adjustments we made, but just to highlight them, we did work with all the campuses first and foremost to make sure that we were reporting consistently in terms of what was being treated as a self-supporting budget for reporting. And then we also, one of the things that has come up in the past was the difference between, so the board's policy obligates campuses to budget accounts where expenditures are expected to exceed $250,000. That doesn't mean that those are the only accounts campuses budget. So campuses will budget in many cases accounts with spending less than that mandatory amount. But not all campuses were including all budgeted accounts in the report. The report requirement specified to include only accounts over $250,000. We have worked with the campuses to standardize that and include all accounts that are budgeted. So without regard for that limit, if the account gets budgeted, it gets included in the report. In terms of the funds being included, we had one campus was including budgeted gift funds. In discussing that difference, we are working on a gift report for the March meeting that was responsive to the LCB recommendations related to the gift balances. And so we're planning to incorporate a more comprehensive gift budget report or gift budget format reporting in that report as well. So rather than commingling gift and self-supporting activity in this report, it was we recommended separating those and keeping gifts focused on gifts and this focused on self-supporting activity. And so because of those changes, you'll see some differences. If you were to compare the budget column of this report to the budget column in the report that you approved last December for FY24, you would see some differences. Those differences are because we standardized this report and we wanted to make sure there was apples and apples when you're comparing budget and actual. The most significant difference, though, I would highlight is the reduction in gift revenue that related to the campus that had been including those. In this report, you'll see that when we bring the report for gift activity in March. So with that, I'll move on to the summary of the report, unless there's any questions on that I could address on those changes.
Questions from the committee? No? Go ahead. Thank you.
So page 7 of the report, so it's fairly similar format, although the revenue activity is different, and because self-supporting accounts do have carry-forward balances, the revenues and expenses do not necessarily balance to zero in this case. We provide in the report instead also the information about the budgeted beginning balance and ending balance in the accounts. So starting on page 7, you'll see a summary of the system-wide activity in self-supporting accounts, budget accounts. The top section of the report, including the revenues, total revenue in FY24, budget, $667.7 million. And again, that was slightly different than what was reported in the budget report last December. However, the most significant adjustment was just reducing the gift revenue in this so that the actual and budgets were aligned. Actual revenue for the fiscal year, $624.9 million. And then expenditures on this page are expenditures by function, so similar to the state-supported operating budgets. This is functions such as instruction, student services, academic support, operation and maintenance, and the like. A large category here that you don't see as much of in the state-supported operating budget is auxiliary activities such as the resident life and parking services and things and items in that category that you have on the campuses. Total expenditures in originally budgeted $832.2 million versus actual expenditures $658.9 million. We do net the transfers at the bottom of the report for you, so we're trying to help distinguish between revenue actually generated internally versus balances being transferred internally. So that's why you see the transfers in and out netted at the bottom section of the report rather than included in revenues and expenditures. They function like revenues and expenditures within departmental accounts. However, that's just transferring funds between accounts and not generating new external revenues. That's why we separate that. And then the bottom of the report showing the beginning and ending balances. And so if you do balance, in total these numbers do balance to zero, it's just that a portion is the beginning and ending balance, which actually represents resources that carry forward for the campus in these areas to future fiscal years.
Okay. Thank you.
Page 8 of the report is the same summary of revenue and expenditures. The revenue is identical to the prior page because there's not a difference in the categories and how those are displayed. However, this bottom half of the report is showing the expenditure budget by ledger, which again is separating personnel compensation and benefit expenses from operating expenses. Page 8 ends the system-wide summary of the self-supporting activity. The remainder of the pages 9 through 88 are campus-specific summaries, and another addition in this year's version of the report includes unit-level summary of sources and uses for each of the campuses. So trying to balance, I think the last two iterations of this report only provided the campus-level summary that was the same format that we just reviewed for system level with no additional detail. The iteration this was replacing had ledger level detail and functional level detail by unit for all the campuses. This was an attempt to balance that level of detail So we are providing unit level just summary of sources and uses just to give some context in terms of how the self-supporting activity is distributed through the campuses without getting to the same level of detail that we were asked to scale it back from to get to a summary. So it's trying to strike that balance, and certainly if you have any feedback from reviewing the report, appreciate that. But that would end my remarks on this report.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for CFO Batone on this report? No. Seeing none, this is an action item. So do we
move to approve?
Okay. We have a motion to approve to accept and a second. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I vote aye as well. Motion passes. Okay. Thank you. Moving on to item number 8, fiscal year 2024-2025, NCHE self-supporting budget. CFO Batone.
Thank you, Chair Downs. Chris Batone, NCHE CFO. Item 8 is the fiscal year 2025 self-supporting budget report, and this is comparing in the same way we reviewed state and the state-supported operating budget. This report is your new year, fiscal year 25 budget for approval. And it compares to the FY24 originally approved budget. As with the budget to actual report for self-supporting, this report reflects those same changes that we introduced for the campuses to ensure consistency in the accounts being reported and to try to improve the number of accounts being reported in the report. Again, turning to page 7, this is the system-wide summary of revenues and expenses, and total budgeted revenue for FY25 in self-supporting activity, $736.4 million compared to $667.8 million in FY24. On the expenditure side, budgeted expenditures, $938.2 million. In comparison to $832.2 million for FY24. And then again, summarized transfer in and transfer out activity and cash balances. Turning to page 8, the same summary of revenues and expenditures here by ledger category rather than functional category, summarizing the compensation and benefits and operating activity. And then, again, similar to the budget actual report, the remaining pages 9 through 81 are campus-specific summaries and the unit summary of sources and uses in each institution.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any questions for CFO Batone?
Question?
Yes, please.
CFO Batone, we have numerous proposed student fee increases coming into our agenda for the main board. Will that be included in the fiscal year 2025 proposed budget? Or factored in, I should say.
Regent Arascata, thank you for the question. I'm looking for help from the campuses to confirm, because these processes overlap, and I don't know that the I'd have to ask the campuses to confirm inclusion of proposed fees in the operating budgets that are in front of you. Thank you for the help from the audience, the shout out. The fees that are being proposed in tomorrow's agenda item are for fall of 25. So those actually come into effect for fiscal year 26. So these are the fees. These budgets reflect the fees you heard and approved in your December 2023 meeting.
You're muted, Regent Arascata.
Caught myself. Okay. Thank you, CFO Batone, and the entire audience.
It's a team effort.
Are there any other questions for CFO Batone? This is also an action item for approval. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved to approve.
We have a motion.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. So all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. We're on to number nine. I believe we're on nine. Did I skip one?
Yeah, nope.
Okay. Number nine, first quarter fiscal year 2024-2025, athletics financial report. This is an information-only item. So this is for UNLV, UNR, CSN, and TMTC. CFO Vitone.
Thank you, Chair Downs. Item nine, first quarter fiscal year 25 is a summary athletics financial report. So this report's being provided in response to the board's request for a quarterly athletics financial summary report. This is a similar format to the last summary we provided for the athletics programs. If you turn to page two of the report, I'll just highlight the different columns in the report to explain what we're presenting here. So you do have 2 years of actual activity in fiscal year 23 and 24, your first two columns. The column that follows FY 25 fiscal year to date, September 30th, that's the first quarter actual results of revenue and expenditures in the athletic programs. Then followed by that is a fiscal year 25 projection. So this is the campus's opportunity to update their forecast for the current fiscal year in comparison to the fiscal year 25 budget column that follows, which would be the budget that you just approved in the prior items. And then columns that highlight the differences between the fiscal year 25 projection compared to the fiscal year 24 results. That's the first comparison column. And then the second comparison column being a comparison of the fiscal year 25 budget and the fiscal year 25 projected forecast. This is the first quarterly report. We've not presented quarterly budget actuals in the past. It is the nature of really most of the activity on the campus, but also certainly within athletics is such that there can be significant timing differences between collection of revenue and incurring expenses. And so you can see some volatility or more variability, I should say, between revenues and expenses when you're looking at one quarter. So this will start to trend differently as you look at second and third quarter reports as you lead to the full fiscal year. But certainly in the first quarter, you see a little bit more variability, and that you can see certainly in the UNLV case with the timing of the student fees at the start of the semester and season ticket sales delivering revenue generally ahead of expenses as the season progresses. So just something to keep in mind, I think, for probably first quarter in terms of why projection is giving you more information perhaps than the first quarter actuals. I also wanted to highlight, I know there was some information that you heard recently with some significant conference distributions that are anticipated as a result of the conference realignment and the retention, the agreement for the two campuses, UNR and UNLV, to stay in the Mountain West Conference. Those conference distributions are not reflected in these reports or projections due to the timing of those expected distributions. And so these, for now, these reports don't reflect those either in the budgets or the projections. So,
thank you. Are there any questions for CFO Vitone?
Question?
Yes. Regent Arascada.
Thank you. CFO Vitone, you just touched on the conference allocation of finances to secure the certain members to maintain in the Mountain West, but don't those large compensations of 20-plus million dollars, don't they kick in not until July of 26?
Regent Arascada, thanks for the question. That's my understanding as well, and this is why this is projecting through the end of fiscal year 25. And so I know the campuses are expecting those payments, but they're not reflected in their projections for these reports.
Okay. I'm still looking at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas with the fiscal year net decrease of 26.7 million, is that correct?
Yes. And that okay. That's the carry forward. So that 26.6 million represents the carry forward deficit balance for the athletics program. So you'll see their projection for FY25 is anticipating a balanced revenue and expense for the current fiscal year. However, the balance forward, the results from the prior years is the $26.6 million. Yeah. And I don't want to – the campus may want to comment on plans for the conference distributions to help in that area. I see
CFO. That'd be helpful.
Coming to the
For the record, Casey Wyman, CFO, UNLV. Regina Arscott, yes, that is a good question. And so there's still a lot to be determined associated with those conference-free distributions. So therefore, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves on the exact amount or the timing associated with that. Vice Chancellor Vitone is correct that we do not anticipate any decision associated with that at least until July of next year, which would cross over that fiscal year. I will share with you, and I think it's important, especially from an interest of transparency, is that we are working on a plan on how we want to utilize those resources should they come, and it will be updated to the board in March is at least our initial plan as we work through and hopefully get a little bit better fidelity associated with not only the number, the timing, and then probably the more interesting piece is the utilization associated with it as we carry a significant debt. Currently on our books, and so we obviously want to address portions of that associated with our Get Well plan as we continue to move forward.
I applaud your proactive approach and other plans in regards to the potential $25 million, but you're running at a deficit of $27 million for athletics. So would the finances, and you're the money man, don't get me wrong, but would the finances best be served to pull something out of deficit?
For the record, Casey Wyman again. So that previous deficit is what we had incurred last year, and so our initial plan of attack is to sustain our current operations to ensure that we're not going further into the hole as we wait for the decision associated with the conference realignment. And so we're able to carry that deficit forward because we have other revenue sources across UNLV to cover that should we need to. However, carrying that as a deficit now allows us to present a Get Well plan and allows athletics to be able to essentially work through their own problem versus pulling in additional resources just to right-size the book, which we could do. Obviously, we would rather hold kind of each of the individual components associated with any of the deficits responsible, if that makes sense, sir.
It does in a roundabout way. However, at the bottom of the information provided about the operating budget report, on the bottom of it, when it talks about the phases and the possible ways in which you are going to control costs, the narrative is weak. Having a little bit more substance to this would be beneficial. I'm just doing a comparison between the other campuses about the transfers in, the personnel cost, financial aid, just from the other campuses and looking at other reports at other campuses throughout the country. This is a little bit of a feeble attempt, and I'd really appreciate a little bit more substance in the future.
For the record, again, Casey Wyman, UNLV. Regina Arscott, I appreciate that comment, and we'll be ensure that on our March update that we'll provide additional information, and then if you'd like to meet separately after the meeting before that point to provide additional information, we can.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I had a follow-up question about that. So the conference buyout money, or how do you classify that, the money you're expecting to get, how far out is that going to be before the institution gets that money?
For the record, Casey Wyman, UNLV. That's very much up in the air. And so we're obviously plugged in with our conference, and our athletic director, A.D. Harper, is closely watching that to ensure that we understand both the amount and the timing. However, as you can imagine, there's going to be some litigation associated with it due to the size and the scope of the monetary anticipation piece of that. So unfortunately, I don't have a good answer for you, but we are anticipating an update as it progresses along, and realistically understanding that July of 2026 is our current target of receiving or a decision associated with that, and then potentially how long the funds flow after that are still to be determined.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't mean to poke the bear, but what got us to this point where the athletic department was, you know, hemorrhaging to that point of the, you know, 20-some million dollars?
Yes, ma'am. Again, for the record, Casey Wyman. We've talked about this at length a couple times over the last couple years, so I'm well-versed in it. So the first part is it was a change in policy associated with the reporting of deficit on accounts. And so as previously, we didn't have to report on certain capital projects associated with gift revenue within at the account level. And so that was part of it. So a change in policy allowed us to then become more transparent, which had to show the deficit. And then the other side of it is some faulty assumptions. I've only been here a year, but the previous CFO worked with the athletic department to develop a model for their annual budget, which had some anticipations for unrestricted gift giving, and we ended up receiving the funds via restricted gift giving. We can't just not honor that because our budgets are built and then we execute, and especially with athletics due to ticket sales and the timing of everything else that comes in. It's very tenuous when it comes to that, right-sizing the ship each season, I guess, would be a correct way to do that. And so because we had to then pivot from unrestricted to restricted conversations, that then drove the deficit down. So we couldn't obviously use restricted money for operating support for various sports. So therefore, we needed to use the deficit account associated with that.
Thank you. I think that's important that everyone hears that. Thank just, you. You know, as we talk about all this. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for CFO Vitone or any of the presidents for this on this item, this report? Then we'll move on. It's an information item only. So on to item number 10, lease agreement with the SRK Consulting for the use of use of space in the Meadowood North Building at 5250 Neal Road, Reno, Nevada, for TMCC.
Dr. Karin Hilgersum, president of TMCC. For the record, good morning, everyone. I would like to request approval of a lease agreement with SRK Consulting, a long-standing tenant, an anchor tenant. They do mining engineering consulting. They are a low-risk tenant. They've been terrific, and they are also low impact, not a lot of foot traffic, which balances very nicely with the instructional programs at the Meadowood location. This lease renewal will bring in $14,339 per month. The revenue is critical to assisting facilities with the cost of renovations and deferred maintenance. So I would encourage approval. Thank you.
This is an action item. It's an action item. So are there any questions from the committee to President Hilgersum?
Question.
Yes, Regent Arascotta.
President Hilgersum, excuse me. What is the total square footage of lease spacing?
I do not recall offhand, so I'm going to have to see if it's in the briefing paper.
That's what I'm looking for.
I could call my lifeline or get back to you later.
Let's get back to me later.
And okay, thank you. Sorry about that.
We have an answer here from Council Wixom.
Special Counsel Michael Wixom to the board. If you go to page 6,955 square feet. It's on page 344.
And what is the cost per square footage? Let me rephrase that question, if I may. Is this tenant receiving a good deal, or is it a fair and equitable deal throughout the city of Reno?
This would be fair market value.
Thank you, President.
You're welcome. And you may have noticed there's also a slight rental increase to reflect the changing market over time.
Are there any other questions of President Hilgerson? Seeing none, this is an action item, so.
Move to approve.
It's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
Second.
You have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I vote aye as well. Motion passes. Okay. Moving on to item number 11, design and construction of the TMCC Theater at TMCC. So, President Hilgerson.
All right. President Karin Hilgerson, for the record, I don't use the word thrilled very often. It reminds me of being on a roller coaster, and that's good and bad. But today I'm going to use the word thrilled. I am thrilled to bring this to this committee for an informational discussion, and I hope that if all goes well, that you'll see me back in January to actually pull the trigger on what will be an incredible project. This project is phase one of the Eastview project, which many of you, well, most of you have heard all about multiple times since about January of 2018. And in January of 2018, the board did something really great for TMCC, and that is that they allocated $1 million from the investment pool to use for Eastview planning site. State space study, floor plan, conceptual drawings. The architects did a wonderful job at that time period interacting with faculty and employees at TMCC. They held several charrettes. This is a very, very exciting project. But through the years, as we have squirreled away money in with the hope of needing it for a match for a state project, we've realized that the odds of that for TMCC, for really all community colleges in the state of Nevada, are slim to none at this point in time, with our last state-funded building occurring in 1996, if you can imagine. So we started rolling up our sleeves and thinking in more innovative ways and engaging with architects, many of whom are involved in our TMCC Bachelor of Architecture degree program, which has been really wonderful and remarkable. And so what we've come up with is a way to construct phase one of Eastview, which is the most needed element of the building, a relatively humble but wonderful theater for our growing TMCC Theater Performing Arts program, including both theater technician certifications, which is a really cool thing that our two relatively new faculty have been working on, and they're just so well qualified to do theater technical programs, but also a really flourishing dance program, which is really terrific because, as some of you may also recall, that the University of Nevada, Reno, our partner, also has a dance program, and it's a wonderful transfer pathway for students who love dance. So, super excited that using modular technologies and some new technologies, we'll be able to construct phase one, which would include a 244-seat theater. Maybe we can squeeze that to 250, we'll see. But also a nice large space for set construction, which can also be used in part for other architecture projects when the plays aren't in construction. And a three classrooms that I asked the architects to pivot and add three classrooms because the one thing that we're hearing from our accreditors on the Bachelor's of Architecture program is you need better space for architecture. So this would serve as temporary space for architecture until we get hopefully a facility that will have customized architectural space. And following that, these three classrooms can be returned to the liberal arts program at TMCC because they're doing just a wonderful job. So with that, I'd like to turn the podium over to Vice President of Governance and Finance, Mike Pearl, who can talk with you in detail about the budget. But I am truly thrilled about this project today. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair Downs, committee regents. I'm Mike Pearl, the Vice President for Finance, Government Relations, and IT at TMCC. Today, I will give you an initial overview and information of how TMCC will plan to fully fund this project. Key to this is all funds will come from institutional funds, as well as our capital improvement fee account. Also to note, as President Hilgerson mentioned, TMCC has not received state funding for a major capital project since 2000. So TMCC has been very proactive in planning strategically our non-state funds and our revenue streams and saving to offset the original cost of the original Eastview building. Therefore, our CMAR cost for this project is $15.8 million. Additionally, TMCC will spend about $500,000 for permitting and architectural design. Last, the FF&E will be less than $100,000. TMCC will fully fund this project with institutional funds. We will also internally manage the project and will not utilize State Public Works project management. Of the total amount funded out of the $15.8 million, TMCC will utilize $6.7 million, which will come from the capital improvement fee account that will require Board of Regents approval. No new student fees would be needed to fund this project. This concludes my update. We look forward to bringing this item back for board approval, and we look forward to feedback and comments as we progress, pending any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question. What number of students would a program like this, what does the current program, and what do you expect it to grow to when you have a theater to utilize?
Thank you for the question. For the record, Mike Pearl. Right now, when you look at the two types of programs that are going to go into that, from our theater programs as well as moving our architectural programs in there, you could have anywhere from 200 to 300 students per semester in this facility. Additionally, as the president mentioned, this offers an amazing ability for our community to come and leverage this great space.
And so this number of students, would this be not just students who are in the program for theater, for example, or for architecture, but it would also be students who might be satisfying GE requirements with these?
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yes. And another great point to that is we can use it for lectures. The entire theater, we can use it for community presentations. We can use it for leadership presentations for the college. I anticipate that theater will be used constantly for our faculty and our students.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions from the committee on this? Okay. Regent Goodman.
Is your student body president here, President Hilgerson? Would she like to say anything? No, that's okay.
Alicia Allison, for the record, President of Student Government Association. Thank you so much for speaking. As personally, since I have a associate's degree in landscape architecture, I have spent so much time within the architecture lab, but there's only one architecture studio specifically. It is 256 at the Edison campus. It's not much space, and we only have like one storage room. So using more space to be able to create models, to be able to draft up big projects, it would just be so beneficial for us to have the extra space and not have to maneuver around other people, have to accidentally trip on other people's toes, other people's feet, accidentally grabbing someone else's supplies by accident. It happens all the time, but it would really benefit us if we could have a more organized space. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? No? Okay, this is an information item, so we will move on. We look forward to seeing more about this in coming meetings. Moving on to item number 12, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration Grant, Notice of Federal Intent, Bentley Hall, Douglas Campus, Western Nevada College. President Dulpe.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Kyle Dalpy, president of Western Nevada College. On the item today is the request for approval of a notice of federal interest for our property in Minden, the Douglas campus. To give you a quick high-level view of what we're doing, Western Nevada College has three campuses, Carson City, Fallon, and Minden. The Minden one is termed Douglas campus because it resides in Douglas County. We have found that that particular campus has gone under-enrolled for a number of years, most likely because students will drive to Carson City for the classes or take them online. However, we have found that we are maxing out our nursing program in Carson City and in Fallon, and so putting a nursing cohort in Douglas County has been our strategy for the last 18 months. We've been discussing it. To note, we have currently 30 nursing students who are driving from Carson Valley to the Carson City campus to take classes. So utilizing our Douglas campus, which is currently underutilized for classes overall, for nursing would be a great solution to increase the number of nursing seats overall and save some commute time, keeping students in the rural communities where they live. To do this renovation, we need to look for funds. We were able to leverage a federal directed appropriation of $4.4 million to renovate that campus, to create space to accommodate this nursing cohort and other improvements on the campus. In order to accept that grant, we need to have approval by the board for a notice of federal interest, which in a nutshell states that if we happen to take all of the federal money, renovate that campus, and then turn around and sell the campus, which we, of course, have no intent to do, the federal agency would like to recover some of the funding based on a depreciation schedule. So with that, I'll leave it at that. That's about as succinct as I can make the multi-page briefing paper, but if you have questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Are there any questions for President Dalpy regarding this item? So before we go to calling for a vote, I need to read my statement here. Pursuant to NRS Chapter 281A, I hereby disclose that I'm an employee of NSHE at Western Nevada College. Because the independence of the judgment of a reasonable person would not be materially affected by my situation, I will vote on this matter. Well, maybe, okay, leave it at that. So is there a motion on this?
Motion for approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second, so we'll move to a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 13. Long-term lease agreement by and between 2965 Holdings, LLC, and the Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine at UNLV for the use of space at 2965 South Jones Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada. And there's a correction within the description that there's a typo. It is at 2965, not at 2968, as it says in the description. So just to make that note of correction. So this would be, yes, President Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning. Today I present for your consideration and approval a long-term lease agreement essential to the continued growth and operational efficiency of the Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine at UNLV. This agreement will enable the relocation and consolidation of critical clinical practices into a single facility, improving both delivery of services and optimizing resources. UNLV is requesting the approval of this 10-year-long lease agreement for medical office space at 2965 South Jones Boulevard to relocate the pediatric clinic. Currently, the pediatric clinic is housed at 1524 Pinto Lane under a lease agreement with the University Medical Center. However, UMC can only lease the Pinto Lane location through the end of July of 2025. In anticipation of this deadline, UNLV Health and UNLV Kirk Kerkorian School of Medicine are seizing the opportunity to consolidate the pediatric clinic and the Mojave West Psychiatric Clinic into a single facility at 2965 South Jones Boulevard. The planning for the Jones site will include three clinic operations, the pediatrics main clinic, the clinical psychiatry space for adolescent and adult psychiatry, and the new clinical space for primary care services. The new facility will provide approximately 29,000 square feet of medical office space, general office space, classroom, research, and laboratory space. This consolidation will create efficiencies, improve resource management, and enhance service delivery to the community. The lease term is for 10 years, commencing upon the completion of landlord-provided capital improvements, or July 1 of 2025, whichever is later. UNLV's Kirkcorian School of Medicine will only incur rent payments once the improvements are completed and a certificate of occupancy is issued. With this in mind, I offer this item for your consideration.
Thank you, President Whitfield. Do we have any questions from the committee? Yes, Regent Goodman.
I have a disclosure. My business, I'm the executive director of the Dr. Robert Hunter International Problem Gambling Center, and we also occupy that space. So just putting that in there as disclosure. I don't believe it affects my vote, but I just wanted to make sure that I disclose that information.
Just means we could be neighbors.
Regent Arascata.
President Whitfield, will the landlord be paying for the improvements or renovations? Will that be on UNLV Kirkcorian School of Medicine?
As I understand it, it will be the landlord who will provide those. Is that correct? And those improvements come in around at $3.58 million.
And those improvements will be completed prior to you all taking occupancy?
Yes.
Wow. Cool.
Any other questions from the committee? No? Okay. Is there a motion to approve this lease agreement?
Motion for approval.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I have a question for legal. Should I abstain from this, or can I abstain?
I think you can abstain. I don't
believe
we have a quorum.
Does it affect the vote then?
Right. Yeah, it would affect the vote.
All right.
But from an overall perspective, if you don't have any financial interest in the outcome, then I don't see how it could be an issue.
I don't. Okay.
Thank you.
I've just been in the building for 5 years, so okay. Aye. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Motion carries. Moving on to item number 14. Second Amendment to a Standard Office Lease Agreement between the Kirkcorian School of Medicine at UNLV and 3010 West Bay LLC for property located at 3010, 3014, and 3016 West Charlton Boulevard, Clark County, Nevada. UNLV, President Whitfield.
Thank you, Chair. Today, I bring before you a request for approval of the Second Amendment to the Standard Office Lease Agreement between UNLV and 3010 West Bay LLC. This amendment revises the base year in the lease, which will provide significant financial benefits to the Kirkcorian School of Medicine at UNLV. Now, the original lease approved at the September 17th meeting granted UNLV Kirkcorian School of Medicine to occupy over 30,000 square feet across multiple suites at the West Charleston Boulevard location. The first amendment, approved in April of 2022, expanded the space to over 36,000 square feet and extended the term to August 31 of 2029 with two 36-month extension options. The original lease set the base year as 2017, but in an audit by UNLV Real Estate found that the landlord lacked documentation for the 2017 and 2018 expenses. UNLV and the landlord agreed to amend the base year to 2019 as reflected in this second amendment. The amendment revises the base year in the lease, which sets a precedent for how much the School of Medicine will actually pay for annual operating expenses, custodial expenses, and electricity for the subsequent year of the lease term. Revising the base year to 2019 will report in significant financial benefits for the UNLV School of Medicine. This adjustment reduces the building's operating costs by almost $56,000 and provides the potential annual savings of up to $19,000 for each subsequent lease year through the term ending in 2029. By addressing this matter now, we ensure that UNLV's Kirkacorian School of Medicine avoids unnecessary additional costs in the future. And so with this in mind, I offer this for your consideration.
Thank you. Are there questions for the committee? From the committee for the president. Is my mic on? There we go. No questions? Is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and Regents.
Moving on to item number 15, first amended lease agreement between UNR and the Davidson Academy of Nevada, UNR. President Sandoval.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Brian Sandoval, president of the University of Nevada, Reno. We respectfully request your favorable consideration of this agenda item. It's pretty simple, Mr. Chair. We've had a historical lease agreement with the Davidson Academy for approximately 17 years. There's a three-year notice provision within that document that requires one of the parties, if they're going to make a change to that, to do so within that three-year period. The parties are currently discussing the use of that facility and perhaps different changes to that, and what's before you today is simply seeking a three-month extension within which to accomplish that.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the committee?
Motion for approval.
We have a motion for approval. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Moving on to item number 16, is there any new business? Seeing none. Is it Regent Arascada? Look like you have some ideas.
Going back to one of the earlier agenda items in regards to athletic department and athletics, a lot of questions in regards to financial reporting and the student fees and the state appropriation of finances. And just want to get further details in regards to athletic reports for the future. I know we have it coming quarterly, but hearing more about some of the financial allocations that's going to be set forth by the Mountain West Conference, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, hearing a little bit more of that from the CFO Wyman would be very helpful.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other items under new business? Seeing none, we will go to public comments. Is there any public comment at GBC?
There is none at this time.
Thank you. Is there any public comment at the system office in Reno?
So there's none at this time.
Thank you. I do not see any public comment here at UNLV, so we'll go to SCS. Is there any public comment on the phone?
There's none at this time, Mr. Chair.
Okay. And I call this meeting adjourned. Thank you.